Hey everybody, it's Lloyd Spence and I am excited about where we are headed as we're getting closer and closer to the NBA playoffs. And man, you can tell things are heating up. So now I got to get in position. I got to get you in position to get you over to betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your, wait for it, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So get on over there to betonline.ag, betonline.ag, your online sports book experts. Come on, man. Tell them the Noisemaker sent you. Man, I wish I could get back to fishing on the weekends, back like I did back in the day when I was a wee lad. But I can't, man. The time is... Okay, let me just be honest. I can't find the right stuff. I don't know the right baits to go get for Texas. But I'm glad our new sponsor, Monster Bass, is the fun and affordable way to get the best new baits from the fishing industry's top brands delivered to my doorstep each month. Premium subscription fishing company that handpicks the best baits based on where I live and where you live and fish. No more guessing on which baits are going to work. Just leave it to the pros at Monster's Bass. They know what to do. Basically, it's like having your own personal fishing guide. It's changing the way bass fishermen shop for baits. They're quickly becoming the number one fishing brand of anglers everywhere. They got the best baits from the best brands, and you're covered by the industry's best customer service. So, if you want to catch a bigger bass this season, head on over to monstersbass.com and use the code ACC10 to get $10 off your first box. That's monstersbass.com. Use the code ACC10 to get $10 off your first box. Sign up for Monster's Bass now. Tell them your boy Lloyd Spence sent you.
Popcorn World.
Glad to be here with my boys. We here. School is in session. The draft is over. We've talked about it. We've analyzed it. We've broken it down. We don't have to worry about none of that no more. Now we can get to talking actual football and where these guys are going and how this is going to be made and all that good stuff. It's going to be a different situation and circumstance. Glad to be here with my guys, Kendrick Haskins, the Fern Creek Hall of Famer, and Wade Freeze, finest Derby reporter ever. And then, of course, I know. And then, of course, the legend, Florida State Hall of Famer, and only Heisman Trophy winner until we can find, you know, get Kendrick's paperwork cleared. Charlie Ward. Charlie Ward is here.
What's happening?
How you guys doing today? Y'all feeling good?
I'm awake.
I know. For those who will follow this show on a regular basis, we don't do Monday mornings. This is different for us. But we're here. We're up. We're ready. We're good. We are excited to be here with you. So, first of all, did everybody have a good weekend?
Yes. I did.
Yeah?
I mean, everybody was good. We can make it through.
That's really a good point, Charlie.
Yeah. I got a chance to be the commencement speaker for our softball team on Friday morning. Then I got an opportunity to go to watch them play against NC State on Friday evening, and we actually won that game 2-1, walk off.
Do you think that's because you were there? It feels like we're on the verge of a humble flex. It feels like it.
No.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just saying.
I'm just happy they won, and I got an opportunity to watch it.
Okay.
Because they won 3 out of 4. So whether I was there or not.
Do they normally win 3 out of 4?
Yes, they do.
Okay. All right. Because I'm telling you, it felt like we were right there on that line.
No, you asked me. No,
I don't think we were there yet.
All right. Fair enough.
I don't think we were there yet. Give him some time.
He asked me about weekend. I'll just tell you one of the things that I was blessed to be able to do.
I love it. Well, that's awesome. That sounds good. And Kendrick, of course, you were at the Derby making all kinds of money.
Right. Making money because of overtime. I wasn't making money on bets.
Oh, it was because of the bet. I'm still in awe of my family picking the Derby and anger of my family picking the Derby winners literally right before the race started.
Well,
and not with any information. No information whatsoever. They liked the three names.
Well, I mean, I can't lie. On Oaks Day, I had the winner. I had second place. And the horse I picked finished third, finished in fourth. And I don't do any Oaks coverage leading up to the Derby at all.
So you're just blind.
Yeah, every year they do that to me. They're like, I do Derby, then Oaks Day come. They want my pick to get some kind of analysis. And so I'm just pulling stuff out. And we had six people picking the races, and I was the only one that had the winner. And I had first, second, and my third place horse came in fourth. And so naturally, me being me, next time they came to me on camera, I was talking my talk.
You gotta talk your talk at that point.
I turned into Charlie Ward and was doing the humble brag.
Listen, this show is built on the humble flex. That's what we do here. So
they asked me if I had any analysis. I was like, nope.
No whatsoever.
Nope. Charlie,
you're probably wondering why I let Kendrick off the hook right there. I didn't.
Was a humble flex.
Everybody can get it on this show, Charlie. Everybody.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Nobody's off the hook, Charlie.
I appreciate that. I was just wondering if it was exclusively
No. I know you probably caught that, but no. Anybody?
You know what, Charlie? You know what though? There is one person who's excluded from it because he's in control of it.
No, I'll hit myself with it. If I have to. If I have to hit myself with the humble flex, I will. I'm a man of fairness.
We'll help you hit the button when that time comes.
When that time comes, there you go. Well, listen. Again, the draft is over. It was really good right after the first two picks because the first two picks were obvious, but everything after that was really actually kind of interesting. I'll be honest with you. before we get into some of the ACC players and all that stuff, I was a little shocked that they took Trey Lance. I thought Trey Lance was the right pick, but I was shocked they took him.
Why?
Because I just felt like the Mac Jones train was so loud. And it was just everybody was Mac Jones, man.
I'm lying like, season. It's lion season.
Well, listen, and I think that's what we got. I think it's the lesson we learned that the loudest lie is probably the biggest lie. So,
but who was saying that though?
Huh?
Who was saying it?
Oh, it was. Well, I mean, you heard a lot of reports coming out of San Francisco that they were going to take Mac. That it was between Mac Jones and Trey Lance.
The people who were picking, they had a choice. I mean, it was just basically they put that out there,
right?
For people to doing what we do, which is trying to guess right. which way they should go and talk about it. And so they're doing their job. They get names.
Charlie, based on what you've seen of both quarterbacks, do you think they got it right?
I think so, and it really depends on where they. What they're looking for. Because if they're looking for a quarterback in 2 years, then Trey Lance is the guy. I mean, Matt Jones, I think, to me, I think he's going to be a quality quarterback. But for some reason, I don't know. He may turn out to be a very good quarterback. I don't know. But he may be the right quarterback in the right system. And so where he went, I think, is the right system for him to be able to thrive. Not saying he could have done that. He couldn't have done that in San Francisco. However, I think his situation is a good situation. But I do believe Trey Lance has the bigger upside when it comes to,
overall, yeah.
I think I like Justin Fields more than Trey Lance, but I mean, really and truly, that's just really honestly, for lack of a better term, just going off ignorance because I've seen Justin Fields. I really haven't seen that much of Trey Lance other than the highlights. And so I never thought they were going to take Jones. I thought there was a smoke screen the whole time. And so I wasn't that surprised. I think it probably was between Lance and Fields more than it was Lance and Jones, if they're being honest about it.
Well, I think they got it right. And I'll even say this. I think Mac Jones ended up in the right place. Like, to me, New England is the smartest franchise in picking what they want. Like, a lot of us go to the grocery store and we're hungry. And so we just pick what we're hungry for, want, and we just pick what we see, and we're like, oh, I'm hungry, and I need something to eat. And
you never learn if you don't go to the grocery store hungry.
But that's what we do, though, Kendrick. We go to the grocery store, and we're starving, and we just grab it. New England is the most disciplined grocery store shoppers ever. They like, listen, we want to make cabbage and corn and potatoes, and we're going to get cabbage and corn and potatoes, and that's what they – so they go get what they need. And they don't pick anything else but what they need. And I think Mac Jones is probably what they will need at some point. Now, I don't think he's what they need now, but I think he is what they need at some point. And I think they do that better than anybody.
What do you think about them now? They basically, there's two quarterbacks are polar opposites.
Well, that's why
if you put Jones in, you're gonna have to put in a whole other,
game. Well, that's why I said not now. I think they know we're probably 2 to 3 years away from having a Mac Jones-based team. So we need to take our time and build a Mac Jones team. But in the meantime, over those 2 to 3 years, we can build a really competitive team. And so, because I don't think Bill Belichick cares where he drafts at. He don't have to be at the top of the draft. He don't care about whether he's at the bottom of the draft. He knows this is what I'm going to get what I need every time. It don't matter. So I think they're going to be highly competitive next year and still building for the future. I think they just, I don't know, man. It's a smart franchise. I think you got to give them credit for what they do.
The only question, though, is you say 2 to 3 years. Does Cam have another 2 to 3 years?
Well, that is the question. That is the question. I will defer to Charlie Ward on that question. Charlie, do you think Cam has 2 to 3 years in him left in his career?
Not in New England.
Oh, wow.
I don't think in New England, unless he has a breakout year this year, they will reconsider. But if he's just status quo, not a really over-the-top type guy, I think they'll probably move on to a different era. Because I believe they brought in some pieces now to be able to help them, move in the next direction, move forward with Cam being at the helm. But, I think they're grooming, Matt Jones to be the next guy. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways. And so I just don't see them unless Cam just, takes them to the playoffs and then the Super Bowl or, close to it, them bringing him back, for a couple more years.
Wow. I am interested to see how Cam performs in a regular season without all the COVID stuff going on.
That's true, too.
Well, he's definitely playing for his life right now.
Well, that too. Plus, people forgot. The Patriots had the most players in the league that sat out last year, because of COVID. They didn't play at all, and I think a lot of that got lost because everybody was just happy to see the Patriots struggle. But I do think they'll be better next year.
It does bring me joy when they struggle. I don't know why that is. It does.
I still have questions about their receiving core. They still haven't really gotten any playmakers at receiver.
That's why I said 2 to 3 years, because I still think they're missing the skill guys that they need to put around Matt. We've seen Mac Jones. Mac Jones performs well when he has a plethora of weapons, which he does not have right now. Mm-hmm. So the quarterback better suited for what they have now is Cam Newton, but they got to go get some weapons to put around him if they want to see Mac Jones succeed.
At this point, you got to question, will they? Because at the end of the day, that's why Tom Brady's not there. They weren't going out and getting him any weapons. I don't understand what they're doing with that.
See, I think it's a different NFL now, and I think you have to go get weapons, and I think Bill knows that now. And he's going to probably go do that. But you don't want to mortgage the franchise to get the weapons. And that's the tricky part about it. How do you
get draft? They don't even draft receivers.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. That's why that's why I think it's a different NFL. And I think he's starting to realize that. And I think you're going to see them do some things a little bit different going forward. I feel like the philosophy might be changing a little bit.
I agree, because they were the most active team in the league in free agency this year.
Yeah. Spent more than they ever have.
Right. And so we'll see. I'm not a Patriots fan either, but I am a Cam Newton fan, and so I do want to see him be able to play 100%. He had COVID himself, and he never looked right after he caught COVID himself.
Exactly.
I like to see him 100% and with a 100% legit team, because like I said, they had the most players in the league that sat out all season because of COVID.
What is this believe in the ACC? And if you're an ACC fan, the ACC did quite well. I mean, quite well in this draft. In the first round, we saw Trevor Lawrence go to Clemson. We saw Jalen Phillips. Jalen Phillips doesn't even have to switch his apartment. Like, he just stay where he was. Well, he might want to get a bigger place since he's now a multimillionaire.
He did go to UM.
Went to UM, and now he's going to. Why you say it like that, Charlie? That felt like a dig. Do I have to get a humble dig?
That sounded
too?
Like that Florida State rivalry.
That felt like a little Florida State dig just then. Did you hear that too, Kendrick? Okay, all right. I'm going to move on for now, Charlie, but we're going to circle back to that. Caleb Farley.
He's just saying they got great dorms.
That's all I was saying.
That's cool. They probably do have some awesome dorms.
That's all I was saying, Charlie. You came for that, brother. Caleb Farley went to the Titans. Christian Darrisaw to the Vikings. Travis Etienne joins his teammate with Trevor Lawrence at Jacksonville.
I like that.
And Greg Rousseau to the Buffalo Bills. Let's talk about that first round, and let's talk about that pattern that we saw with a lot of teams matching up a college teammate with their college quarterback. That was something unique to this draft that I don't ever remember seeing that, where a college teammate, you know, a quarterback previously or in the same year, they got to match, come back together and play again. That was very unique. But you said you really love the Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne move by Jacksonville.
Yeah, because Jacksonville desperately needs weapons, and they definitely got them with Etienne. And I've been big on Etienne from day one. I was surprised he came back last year, because you can spread him all over the field. You can line him up in the backfield and conventional running back. You can line him up in the slot. And you know, they can get creative, and just, you can put him all over the field. It kind of reminds me of Marshall Faulk. And so I think that's going to be great for Trevor Lawrence. Plus, you got a quarterback who's coming in with all these expectations, all this on his shoulders. He's supposed to be the savior of the franchise. And it's good to have somebody there that he's already familiar with, and he's made plenty of plays with. And so I really like that. I like the getting the teammates together. I think that is a good idea. And I'm sure it's happened, but probably not to the degree that it happened in this draft. It was a lot in this draft.
A lot of safety blankets being picked up this draft. Charlie, you like that? Are you a fan of that thought process?
Well, it does say that that those guys were on good teams.
Right.
they're getting put on the same team, you know, in the first round, most of the time. So, I mean, or first or second round. So, I mean, when you start looking at it that way, those are some quality teams you're picking up.
Right.
Players you're picking up from the same teams. So, I think it's, you know, it's the familiarity of, you know, the teammates definitely plays a big part, you know, in the how fast things can get picked up.
Yeah.
Communication. I'm not saying that they'll be on the field always together, but it just kind of eliminates some of that indecision or lag time that you may have trying to get to know one another. So, you know, that's always beneficial to be able to have, you know, in the passing game, run game, whatever it may be. But you're also getting two solid players. I mean, when you start breaking it down, I mean, essentially that's what you're trying to get. You're trying to get good players. And so when you have that type of situation, you definitely want to be able to, you know, put the best players on the same team. And why not? I mean, they had success in college. Why not bring them to the NFL together? Right. So they can have success. So I think it's wise. You know, it'd be interesting to see if it pans out, you know, at the next level. But I do believe they'll have some form of success.
The second round brought us Javonte Williams to the Broncos, Liam Eichenberg to the Dolphins, Jackson Carmen to the Bengals, Asante Samuel Jr. to the Chargers, which I think is a phenomenal pick, Aaron Banks to the 49ers. Shockingly to me, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah went 52nd to the Cleveland Browns. Our guy Tutu Atwell went to the Rams at the 57th pick, and Boogie Basham. But his mama named him Carlos.
Right.
But Basham went to the Bills. I think in the 61st pick there. So that was interesting as well. What are you guys' thoughts on that second round group there?
Well, you know, I'm partial. I'm sure this show's partial to Tutu going to the Rams. That's a good fit for them.
Really good fit for him. Really good fit.
I still think I would have liked him at the Saints, but. The Rams, I mean, that'll be a good fit. I mean, you got an offensive mastermind there as a coach, so I think that's a good fit for Tutu.
I see why you would say the Saints, I think I like the experience of Stafford more so than I like, although Jameis probably needs him more. I'll say that. Jameis probably needs him more. But I think what he's going to get out of that receiving core as a person, just individually, Tutu, what he's going to get playing on that team with Stafford is going to be so invaluable. It'll probably be the reason why he stays in the league 10 years. Just because he's going to be around that experience and those great receivers that they have.
Yeah, yeah. Cooper, I mean, he can learn under Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp is going to teach him a ton. Yeah.
Because he's similar to Cooper Kupp. He's just faster. I think he's going to play a similar role as Cooper.
Well, let's be honest.
He's probably going to be Cooper Kupp's replacement.
I was just going to say, let's be honest. He's probably Cooper Kupp's replacement.
Right.
He's probably Cooper Kupp's replacement. You excited about your guy Asante and where he's going to the Chargers?
Yes, and I mean, it's another teammate-type situation. Not 100% sure if they were in school together. They may have been. Derwin James and Asante. But I think it's good. You know, it's a good fit for him. The Chargers are still trying to get their way or make their way make it to the next level. They have their quarterback, Justin Herbert, and they've gotten them some receivers, some linemen, all those things. And defensively, I think they're still – you know, there's still quality there. If they can just keep Durbin on the field, he's been injured the past few years.
Right.
If they can keep him healthy, you know, the defense, at least the backfield, you know, can continue to improve. But I think, you know, they'll be sound. I mean, Asante would definitely be able to help them. You know, I just think he's a slot corner. Just with his size, he may be a good corner, you know, eventually. But I think initially they try to use him as a slot corner to be able to match up with some of those Tutu Atwells. Because normally in college he was playing, you know, the outside, and he didn't really match up unless they, you know, went to that form of defense, which is matching guys up with speed. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they use him. And he's another candidate for special teams. He did it in college. And so, you know, he'll be a good candidate for special teams early on until he can get his feet wet.
Yeah. In the third round, we got Andre Sisco joining Trevor and Travis Etienne at Jacksonville. We got Allen McNeil going to the Lions. Charlie's favorite, Chad Surratt, going to Minnesota. Divine Diablo going to the Raiders. Hunter Long to the Dolphins. Deami Brown went to the Washington football team. Tommy Trimble to Notre Dame. A shocker, Amari Rodgers going to Green Bay. Probably doesn't help them in any way, form, or fashion, keeping Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, there you go. Patrick Jones, Minnesota Vikings, Robert Hainsley, Notre Dame, and Ifeatu Melifonwu to the Detroit Lions. Other notables, we got Michael Carter in the fourth round going to the Jets, Dez Fitzpatrick going to Tennessee Titans, which I think is a good fit for him. Ian Book to the New Orleans Saints, which I didn't get that. I'll be honest with you, I didn't understand that at all. But
why?
Because they got that already.
Well, where is he going? I mean, they're probably trying to get a quarterback. I'm just thinking out loud. Trying to get a quarterback to be the third guy for right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know what's going to happen with Jameis.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what they're going to do with what's his name, the back,
Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to be able to get a guy in the third round or fourth round, Ian Book. I mean, you know, you can groom him for a couple of years, and you he's kind of a security blanket in some form. If one of those guys, you know, either move on or don't work out, or because you think James is on a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
Again, I think he's on a 1-year deal. So, you know.
I guess I was looking at it from this perspective, Charlie. You have Taysom Hill. You drafted Taysom Hill. That's basically, to me, what Ian Book is. He's a better passing Taysom Hill.
He's also significantly younger than Taysom Hill. I don't think
that may be the reason why
they
get it.
I don't think Taysom Hill is their backup. I think it's Ian Book. I really don't.
And maybe that's the reason why they did it, because they don't think it either. They're on the books, they're paying Taysom Hill a lot of money, although none of it's guaranteed.
Right.
But they are paying him a lot of money. So we'll see how they feel. We're going to find out truly how they feel about Taysom Hill this year. Because if Ian Book, the interesting part about it is, if Ian Book can come in and you know he's got the intelligence and you know he's a winner, so if he can come and bring that mentality and get better, Taysom Hill might be looking for a job at the end of the season.
No, they'll leave him at slash. They'll just keep being Cordell Stewart.
Why? You already got Taysom Hill, a better version of Taysom Hill.
But it's not like he's not productive. I mean, he's
– That's very true. That's a good point.
They can line him up all over the field. They just won't be playing quarterback.
That's a good point. But you don't want to do the $140 million to line up across the field, do you?
Who's a better version of Taysom Hill?
I think Ian Book could be. He's a better passer right now.
He's smaller, though. He's smaller than Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
No, he's definitely smaller, but I'm saying he runs, he throws. He throws better than Taysom Hill right now, in my opinion.
Okay.
I don't know if he's a better runner than Taysom Hill. He's probably not a better runner. He don't have the size. But he's definitely a better thrower. So if he can become a runner and have productive run yards, why pay a dude $140 million if you don't have to?
Well, Taysom Hill he's like the master of all the things that he's doing. I mean, he's on all the special teams. He's a slot receiver. He's your quarterback whenever you need the quarterback to run the football.
Line him up at tight end.
I mean, there are a lot of places he can play. So
he's making $140 million.
Well, he's playing like four positions. He's playing like four positions.
No, I agree.
And one of them is a quarterback position that folks make that kind of money. So
I agree. No, listen.
If you got one player playing four positions, you really
he's getting four people's salaries.
Right. That's my point. That's my point right there. Right now he's getting four people's salaries. But if you go ahead and draft the other three people, you don't need to pay him. that's what I'm saying.
Taysom Hill's getting up there. I mean, he's over 30 at this point. And right. So I mean, how many years he's got left anyway? And so
in the fifth round, Brevin Jordan went to Houston. Michael Carter went to the Jets. Noah Gray went to the Chiefs. Dalen Hayes went to the Ravens. That could be interesting because I think that's kind of a steal. Jason Pinnock went to the Jets as well. Cornell Powell went to the Chiefs. They just keep stockpiling the Chiefs. Jesus.
I thought the Chiefs were going to get Tutu.
I think they would have. If they thought they could, I just didn't think they wanted to take him that early, but I think they would have taken him if they could have.
Oh, yeah, that would
have been a perfect match. And then Adetokunbo Okungbaji went to Atlanta. I jacked that name all to pieces. Then we get to the sixth round, and Charlie's guy, Hamza Nasiruddin, went to the Jets. Jalen Twyman went to the Vikings. Jalen Camp went to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ironically, their only wide receiver in this draft, which was interesting that they didn't. But, you know, I did hear them say something, Urban Meyer say something that was really, really interesting. He said he was desperately trying to get Kadarius Toney, with their second pick in the first round, and the Giants blew that out of the water. But he was trying to think about Kadarius Toney, Travis Etienne, and Trevor Lawrence together. That would have been nice. That would have been very, very nice. Victor Dimkajay from Duke went to Arizona. Damir Hamlin went to Buffalo. Quincy Roach went to Pittsburgh. Khalil Herbert. Now, this was a shocker for me. Khalil Herbert went in the sixth round to the Bears. I was like, wow, really? I was a little shocked by that because I had him rated a lot higher than that. Isaiah McDuffie went to the Green Bay Packers. And Daz Newman went to the Bears. And then in the seventh round, Charlie got his wish. Jimmy Morrissey went to the Raiders. Ben Swarnick went to the Rams. And Presley Harvin III, the elite punter from Georgia Tech, went to Pittsburgh. So, Charlie, you got your wish. He was almost Mr. Irrelevant, but not quite. But he did get drafted. So there you go.
You want to have an opportunity.
You just want to have an opportunity.
All these rounds, whether it's first through seventh, you get drafted. That's awesome. But we also had two of our guys. I'm sure there's plenty more, but I only follow Florida State. my man Marvin Wilson will be going to Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
And Scary Terry will be going to the Seattle Seahawks, which is, I think, two great places for those guys. And, you know, it's great to be drafted. Whether you're undrafted, you get a chance to sign our contract to be able to get into camp. You still got to make the most of your opportunity.
Right.
Even though first round, second round, third round picks, you're going to get more of a look. You're going to get more opportunities to, make the team because you're higher pick. But that doesn't eliminate any of these guys who got drafted later. They're still going to get an opportunity.
And that's an opportunity.
And you have to take advantage of it.
Yep. All right, let's take a quick break. Come right back. We'll go through the draft and give our reactions to some of the other things that we saw and tell you what we think. So we'll be right back. Believe in the ACC. Man, I'm so tired of this. This is Lloyd, your boy, Mr. Noise, and I can't find my sunglasses. You know what it is? It's probably because I don't like my sunglasses. And it's time to make my outdoor experience better with Kanen. Because Kanen sunglasses are made exclusively with polarized lenses for optimal clarity. They're made with Japanese optics that make their lenses clearer, lighter, stronger. And, man, I love the Italian handcrafted frames that are impossible to scratch. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use the exclusive code KanenCast15. That's KanenCast15 at Kanen.com to receive my 15% off discount on my first pair. And you can do the same thing. Just go to Kanen.com and use the code KanenCast15 at Kanen.com and get a 15% off on your first pair. That's KanenCast15. Kanen. Man, it's clearly better. Tell them the Noisemaker sent you. All right. Kendrick Haskins, Charlie Ward, we're back. Lloyd Spence. Who are the biggest winners in this thing based on teams and players? Who are the biggest winners based on teams and players? Who would you give the nod to on this?
I mean, there are a lot of teams that won. I thought they had good drafts. Of course, Jacksonville. They had a lot of picks, too. But I thought they drafted well, got some needs, some things that they needed. From their team, the team that didn't need any people, and they got good people, was Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that was crazy. talk about the rich getting richer. Jesus.
Right.
And they may have found their quarterback of the future that can just sit and learn from Tom Brady.
I'm not that sold on Trask, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Kyle Trask, I think, will be a very similar to Brady in the respects that he'll learn from a guy that doesn't move that much. So, hey.
But Brady's going to play another 10, 15 years, so we'll never
see that's true. Trask may die on the vine. He may die on the vine.
I know. Brady's going to run into, I'm just telling you now, he's going to run into what they call Father Time. I don't care how much you try to do it. LeBron James is running into that right now. Mm-hmm. You know, not just with the injuries, but, you know, just things tend to get harder. Mm-hmm. The older you get, and playing on a different level. And so I think he may have a couple more years, but I think Trask will get an opportunity, but he'll also learn while he's there.
Shout out Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. They were both at the Derby, and they both took pictures for my alma mater, Fern Creek. They had some of their football players up there helping clean up at the track. And Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady both took pictures with those kids. So
that's cool.
Shout out to them.
See, look at Aaron. Taking time from the helter-skelter nature of his life to give back.
Those two are regulars at the Derby. It's crazy.
They are.
Brady and Rodgers go to the Derby every year.
Did Aaron look stressed in any way?
Not at all.
It's amazing when you get the big joke in your hand while you're playing spades. How right. calm and yeah, relaxed you are.
You know how you slap the big joke on your forehead?
You slap it on your forehead, walk around like, you know. I'm in a good place right now. I'm going to tell you what I thought did an amazing job if the quarterback is who we think he is. And that's the Jets. If Zach Wilson is legit, they did amazing. They got the quarterback they needed. They got an offensive line beast to protect him. They got a great receiver and a great running back to run behind him. I mean, you can't do much better than that. You rebuilt the whole offense in a day.
I like the Bears getting Justin Fields. I mean,
I love the Bears getting Justin Fields.
The Bears are right there. They're a quarterback away.
Yeah, Bears getting Justin Fields.
Yeah,
that's a big move for them. I'm gonna probably take a little humble flex here. I gotta be. I was very critical of my guy, and to get what he got out of the Bears. I was like, okay, now I can't even front on you on that one, brother. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. I wish he'd have got one more player, a player, you know, from them. I think he probably could have, but I'm not going to hold him up. Two first rounds next year, two thirds, two sixes, that's pretty good. I can't really be mad at that.
I like what the Cowboys did, trading down to get Michael Parsons. I like that.
Well, listen, they recovered nicely because they clearly wanted either Surtain or Horn. And I think Horn going to Denver? I think it was Denver,
Surtain
right?
Surtain went to Denver.
Surtain going to Denver was a shocker. I don't think anybody saw that coming because I think people thought they were going to go quarterback. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that they didn't, and they the Cowboys decided we got to fix this defense.
Yeah, they went defense heavy. Thank goodness.
Yeah. I want to ask a question to you guys. Because this is bothering me the entire draft. Trey Lance going to
San Francisco.
Did that mess up Atlanta and force them into cow pits?
I don't think so. I mean, they could have gotten Justin Fields if they. I mean,
they could have got Justin Fields if they believe in Justin Fields. If they don't believe Justin Fields is a good fit, and because you heard a lot of Trey Lance talk out of Atlanta, we got to you know, shift out of Matt Ryan and into something else.
I mean, very well could have, but I mean, it's not like, you know, they settling for Kyle Pitts is exactly the worst thing in the world.
It's not the worst thing in the world.
Listen to Matt Ryan's career.
Listen, if the worst thing that happens to you in your draft history is that you can't get Trey Lance, but you can get Kyle Pitts, you've had a good draft.
Now you're walking out on offense with Julio Jones and Kyle Pitts.
And Calvin Ridley. This is what you're putting on the field on Sundays. That's a pretty good deal. I just thought that was interesting because there's a lot of people that say that they, you know, Trey Lance was headed to if he didn't go to San Francisco, he was headed to Atlanta, which would have gotten you Patrick Surtain, I think.
Maybe.
But you know, hindsight is always 20/20. What player are you the most excited for that you think they got into a really good situation? I heard you say Justin Fields. You think that's a great situation?
I think it can be. I'm still got some questions on their offense, what they're going to do on offense.
Listen, I question their management.
Right. I question the Bears a lot. I do think they made the right pick now to see if they can manage it right.
Right. Well, there's been a lot of argument, Charlie, of Trey Lance and Justin Fields and Mac Jones and all these guys starting day one. Do you think all of the quarterbacks taken in the first round should be starting day one?
I wouldn't say all of them.
We know Mac Jones isn't.
But I mean, you know, I don't see any of them starting day one because there are guys already there that are proven.
Trevor Lawrence
out of Trevor Lawrence
game one,
right? Lawrence,
of course, is day one starter, but right. All of them, unless one of the guys get hurt.
You see Joe Flacco starting over. Over Zach Wilson?
I would. Why? Because I still think there's a learning curve that needs to happen. And some people say just throw him to the wolves, but that could cause some PS, whatever that is.
PTSD.
Yeah. That deal. And so –
I just think,
you know, it's something that, you know, I think they can come in and play, but starting them day one, I do know this. If they do start day one, you got to be willing to live with
who's up.
If you're Jacksonville, you can live with the mistakes. I mean, you're running out there Gardner Minshew last year. I think Lawrence is going to start. I think it's a good chance that Fields starts over Andy Dalton. And then I don't think Trey Lance starts. I think Garoppolo's a starter there.
Can Fields start over Dalton? Yes. Should he start over Dalton day one? I think you got to go by the schedule. The thing that's interesting now with the 17 games is that obviously you lose two preseason games. So now those two preseason game evaluations become even more critical because
they'll still do those scrimmages though.
Well, but what I guess what I'm saying is it under live fire, under the lights, you get a chance to see. Is he getting it? Is he truly, truly getting it? And if he is, maybe you put him out there, but I don't. With Justin Fields, it's critical to me because there's an unfortunate element that's taking place in that these guys are trying to save their jobs. They know they got to win some games this year to save their job. See, the weird part about the Justin Fields thing is for them to save the GM to save his job. They probably have to make the playoffs, which from a defensive perspective, they can. But do you throw Justin Fields to the Wolves and trust the defense? Like, do you try to win games?
Have you seen the Bears? Have you seen the Bears social media?
It's rough from what I understand.
The draft?
No, no, no. What did I have to say that?
Justin Fields is starting.
But okay, but any management team that listens to the social media is crazy anyway.
Hey, like, aren't they? They sign off on it.
Like I said, if that is the case, then people have to live with the results of playing a young guy. And you can protect him by trying to get a great running game. And he can play off play action and those type of things and live off his athletic ability, you know, while he's trying to figure it out. But it is, I mean, people think it's easy. It is not easy to go in as a rookie quarterback and have great success consistently.
Right.
And I'm not saying he can't do it, but it's just difficult because there are a lot of things that you may see in your first game that you won't see 3 or 4 games later.
Once you get film on you,
You may be able to get away with some of the things the first and second game because people just don't know. But once they see what you are all about, get some film on you, more film, I should say, they're going to start throwing all types of things at it, and you just got to live with those mistakes. And will Chicago be willing to do that? I don't know. And if they are, then, yes, you're talking about jobs and those types of things. You got to be willing to live with it. I just know that even if he – I think he still is a year away from being the type of player that, in my opinion, the type of player I think he could possibly be a successful in the NFL. It's just some learning that he has to get done. And learning, sitting back and watching definitely helps, but it also helps to be able to throw against other professional guys. Not saying they don't have it at Ohio State, none of that kind of stuff. I understand all of that, but and Georgia. But it's still a little different, you know, in the NFL.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying, Charlie. I think that he's in a the unfortunate part of his perfect situation is that there's a group of guys there that know if they don't make the playoffs this year, they're gonna be fired. And so the pressure of that I think is going to mount quickly. And I will even add this in. If they're gonna go with Justin Fields, decide that early. Don't wait till preseason. And you then you're readjusted because Andy Dalton and Justin Fields are not the same quarterback, and so they don't even have the same skill sets. I don't believe so. I think if you're gonna go with Justin Fields, man, let that dude have a whole offseason and OTAs and a whole summer to really become what he's supposed to become. So at least he has a fighting chance in year one. But if you're still vacillating back and forth and trying to decide. I think that's where it gets a little
with the fan base and all that pressure that's going to come from them. If they start the season with Andy Dalton, as soon as Andy Dalton loses, Justin Fields is going out there.
Well, I agree.
And so do you? I mean, Andy Dalton's serviceable, but
let's put the shoe on the other foot. So if Justin Fields goes out and loses, what's going to happen? They're going to call for Andy Dalton?
No, I think he's their future, and they know that. And
they'll ride with it.
So that is my issue. They both lost.
Yeah, but they'll look at it as Justin Fields is a rookie, Andy Dalton's a vet. You know what you're getting from Andy Dalton. You still have the future hope. Hope springs eternal when you have a young
I totally get it.
Yeah.
I totally get it. But you still lost.
Yeah.
What if you lose 2 games?
Well, listen.
I'm willing to lose. Okay, I'm willing to lose with a young player, and that's my excuse. Mm-hmm. So if I have a veteran guy and I lose, my excuse is I have a veteran guy. Why are we losing with a veteran guy when we have a younger guy that we could be losing with and he's learning? You know, I understand all of that. But at the end of the day, you lost. So I guess it's how do you want to lose? Or who you want to lose with if that is the case? You know what I mean? And so let's just say Dalton comes out and he has great games and they lose.
Well, I'm going to say the same thing about the Bears management that I'm going to say about the Giants management. What you did in the draft, you probably didn't do for yourself. Because if the Giants stick up the place, thank you, Gettleman, for having a great draft, and the next GM appreciates that. And the same thing for the Bears. If to Charlie's point, whether they lose with Dalton or Fields, they're probably going to lose. So I don't know if there's anything those guys can do to save their job.
I don't know. I mean,
other than Justin Fields winning.
The Bears are in a great position. They got pieces. I don't think they're going to necessarily lose anyway, especially when the Lions are kind of rebuilding right now. The Packers are in flux. And then the Vikings. I mean, the Vikings are the Vikings. You never know what you're going to get out of them. And so it's not like, you know, I think they can roll the dice a little bit with Fields. Or, if they want to go with Dalton. But I just think with the fan base is going to be calling for Fields from day one.
Well, here's what the Bears must do now. They must join together as a franchise and a fan base and hold a prayer vigil that Aaron Rodgers truly will stick to his guns and not go back to Green Bay. Because if that happens, then they have a legitimate chance to win that division. Because I would say at that point, they're the best team in that division.
Right.
So then you don't have to win every game. You just got to win all your division games, which is a realistic possibility. Now the NFC North is the NFC East from last year.
I wouldn't say. I mean, the Vikings are still good. I mean,
are they though?
I mean, they got an electric wide receiver, and you got Dalvin Cook. I mean, and Kirk Cousins is serviceable
when he's healthy. Dalvin Cook when he's healthy.
Yeah, and so I mean, they're not terrible, and the Lions are the Lions.
Right. Well, but I'm saying they're
not going to be as bad as the NFC East. The Bears are good. The Bears are good. The defense, the Chicago Bears defense.
The defenses are good. In Chicago, I would say the Vikings are serviceable. But the Lions and the Packers are, you know, without Aaron Rodgers, the Packers.
They had a good defense, though. I mean, they picked Brady off three times. They just didn't. And with Aaron Rodgers, they didn't win. They didn't convert.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. But that's what they got to do. They got to pray Aaron Rodgers doesn't come back. They do that, then they got a real shot.
Okay, so Aaron Rodgers is going to retire? Or is he going to another team?
Well, he's threatening to retire. But he's also floating names out there of teams he'd like to go to.
What is this, smoke and mirrors? It's all smoke and mirrors. I'm just saying, man, I definitely understand, but Aaron Rodgers is. I mean, I've seen guys.
Which I haven't asked you this. Do you think he's overreacting?
Oh, who, me?
Aaron Rodgers.
Overreacting to what?
To his situation. Do you think he's overreacting? He's claiming disrespect. He's saying they haven't given him weapons, you know, to all the things.
I think that's school of thought of Tom Brady, you know, but Tom went out and made it happen with the people he had. And you know, they won championships and he didn't really have all the weapons and different things. And then he went and got all the weapons and they won a championship. And so Aaron Rodgers definitely can be in that class. I think every time he takes the field, regardless of who's on the team, you feel like they can win. I just know that seems to be the case. And then last year, just unfortunate, they lost some major offensive linemen, you know, the whole time to major injuries. And so that derailed any hopes they had to be able to make it to the Super Bowl. But he definitely gives them a chance to win every game. I think defensively they got much better last year, which definitely helps him in that sense. But I think them adding some more weapons offensively, whether it's tight end or another, you know, wide receiver to go with the Adams kid, I think it'd be very helpful. But I mean, I know he's doing a lot right now, you know, outside, which is great. But I don't see him leaving Green Bay. But then again, you never know in this day and age.
Yeah. My final question of the day, gentlemen, is there a player that you think will shock everyone from the ACC year one? Not named Trevor Lawrence. That's too obvious.
I don't think anything he's going to do will be shocking unless right. He's terrible. Maybe ATN.
Then it's going to be better than people think, even better than people think.
Yeah, because he kind of got slept on. You really hadn't heard anything about him throughout the draft process.
Yeah.
I think he can be big, especially, you know, he's with that chemistry he has with Lawrence. And they say just if they have an innovative offensive coordinator and the things you can do with him, I mean, I think he can have a breakout year.
What about defensively? Who would you pick defensively?
Maybe Asante Samuel.
Yeah.
With the Chargers.
That's a really good spot for him. That's a really good spot for him.
Especially if they use him in special teams.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really good spot for him. Okay.
I like him a lot.
I would say my offensive I'm gonna go chalk here and say my offensive is Tutu, because I think Tutu really, really landed in a really good spot. Like, I think that's perfect for him. As much as I'd love to see him go to, you know, some of our teams or whatever, I think that's a really perfect spot. But my second is going to be, I think they have fueled and given Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah all of the fuel that he needs to be a defensive rookie of the year in Cleveland. Because I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I think Cleveland might be the best team in that division. Maybe.
Well, they were last year.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Baltimore was better last year.
I was going to say, you could argue Baltimore was better. I think Baltimore was slightly better. But Cleveland made leaps and bounds strides last year. Yeah. And they should make leaps and bounds strides this year. And I think Jeremiah JOK, I hate saying his whole name. JOK is gonna be
I like hearing you try to say his whole name.
It's a lot. Especially on Monday at 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. I think he's gonna be really, really motivated. Because I think in his mind he should not have fallen to 52nd. And I don't know if it's the fault that he felt the 52nd. I think it was just circumstantial stuff. People trying to go get what they felt like they needed most. But man, he dropped way, way down. So I think that kid's gonna be so motivated. He's gonna be beastly out there. And he'll be able to take some risk on that team. So yeah. That's my offensive defense. What about you, Charlie?
My defense would be him as well, Jeremiah. JOK. JOK.
Hey, okay. Jake will be okay.
But he definitely, you know, I thought he was a very good football player.
Yeah.
From Notre Dame. I just liked his energy, his understanding of where he's supposed to be. Guy, you know, he took chances, made plays. You can kind of tell he just knew what he wanted to do, and he was a playmaker. And so I think he'll do well from an defensive standpoint. There's two guys, Amari Rodgers, both from Clemson. Amari Rodgers and what's the power kid?
Yeah, where he ended up at Cornell Powell. He ended up in Kansas City. Yeah.
I think they're, even though he's a fifth-round pick, I think both of those guys would benefit from the system.
Yeah.
If Van Rogers definitely comes back, Amari Rogers would definitely benefit from the system.
Yeah.
Because Aaron Rodgers he's on another planet when it comes to ball placement and just all the different, you know, understanding of the game, and he can definitely help him.
I think if Aaron Rodgers comes back, look out with him.
Yeah, he could have a great season. A great season.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll have a great season.
So I like those two guys from an offensive standpoint just because of the system that they're going into. And they're very good football players.
Well, shout out to the ACC. 51 players going in the draft total.
I was surprised that one that did not get drafted. And that was Javian Hawkins from Louisville.
He did not. He ended up at
Atlanta.
Yeah. Undrafted. Yeah. Undrafted. Yeah, I was too.
Bad information. I wonder how much they held against him pulling out halfway through the season.
Well,
there's quite a few that did that got drafted.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. There seemed to be a pattern.
Play all year.
there seemed to be a pattern in the draft that the guys that didn't play, a lot of the guys that didn't play did not go early. And I was like, "Oh, we are we punishing them? Are we sending them a message that we need you to play?"
Because I think Hawkins is good, and I think I was fine with him coming out, but I think he should have played the whole season.
Well, there was no reason not to. I understand why you didn't, but there was no reason not to.
You pulled out. You didn't play the whole season, and then you didn't get drafted anyway.
Right. So all you lost was time.
Right.
So, yeah.
I think he's in a good spot, though. I mean,
yeah, I think he's in a good spot. He's definitely in a good spot.
Yeah. All right. Final thoughts, gentlemen, for the week as we head into this week. Any thoughts you want to share with the peoples?
Shout out to UofL field hockey making their first ever Final Four. They beat UConn yesterday, 1-0, and they are in the Final Four where they will play Michigan. And it's their first ever Final Four, so shout out to them.
Wow, look at that. Look at that. All right. Charlie, I know you got a shout out. You keep a shout out in your back pocket.
No, I was watching lacrosse yesterday, women's lacrosse, and it was very interesting. I was sitting there watching it with my daughter. And we were trying to figure out the lacrosse game and all the rules. It's kind of on the fly, and the defense and the boxes, and, you know, and all those types of things. And so we figured it out. But congratulations to UNC. I think UNC won lacrosse. They won field hockey. They won everything on yesterday. But I do know they beat Syracuse, I think it was. Was Syracuse? Yeah, I think it was Syracuse. Maybe it wasn't Syracuse. I'm trying to think who it was. On yesterday, I think it was the ACC championship, I want to say.
Okay. Awesome.
Lacrosse is a fun sport to watch. It's hard to watch on television because you can't really see the ball.
But yeah, I don't know what's going on.
In person, it's pretty fun because, I mean, they knock the hell out of each other in lacrosse. Lacrosse is fun to watch.
Well, my shout out is very simple. Shout out to my lovely daughter Hananiah, who turns 12 today. Appreciate you, girl. Love you, daddy.
Happy
love
you. Birthday.
We're gonna have some fun tonight celebrating your lovely birthday. So
Pixie sticks abound.
Pixie sticks will be flowing tonight, baby. All right. Guys, this is Believe in the ACC. That's Charlie Ward. That's Kendrick Gaskins. We will see you guys on Wednesday. We'll do this again on Wednesday. And at our regular time, unless something changes, then we'll let you know. But other than that, we'll be at our regular time. Have a great Monday. If you listen to this podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts, this will be up on Tuesday. Shout out to you. Appreciate you. And we'll see you.